This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, April 26th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, the first of a two-part series on what could be some of the downsides of expanding the use of ethanol. We'll also get a forecast from AM 580 meteorologist Ed Keyser in a moment. First, a look at today's news. The Parkland College Board held a special meeting last night to formally authorize a four-week medical leave for the community college's president, Robert Exley. AM 580's Jim Meadows reports.
Parkland College trustees voted unanimously to grant medical leave for Dr. Exley, a leave that began on Monday. Last November, the 51-year-old Exley suffered a heart attack during a fundraising basketball game. He underwent heart bypass surgery and was back at work in December. But Parkland Board Chairman Lynn Warfel says a heart attack isn't something people can just snap back from, and that Exley has also had to cope with the recent death of his father. He says the president needs more time to recover.
He's receiving appropriate care medically. I know that. And I expect him to recover fully, to be able to manage presidential duties fully. That's about all I can say at the moment.
Until Exley returns to work, the college's three top vice presidents will run day-to-day operations, overseen by Vice President for Academic Services Tom Ramage. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
A judge has thrown out a guilty verdict against a Champaign man who argues that the charges are little more than retaliation for his activism. Judge Harry Clem has ordered a new trial for 39-year-old Patrick Thompson. Last July, a jury convicted Thompson of criminal sexual abuse and home invasion after a 2004 incident at his Urbana apartment building. But in the ruling, Judge Clem ruled that Thompson's trial attorney didn't represent him properly, and prosecutors made improper statements in closing arguments. Thompson's new attorney, Ruth Wyman, believes that Thompson shouldn't have been charged in the first place.
He and his family can enjoy their life without this cloud hanging over his head, and we look forward to, if the state decides to re-prosecute this case, we look forward to being able to have a fair trial.
Attorneys will meet May 22nd for further proceedings. The special prosecutor in the case will only say that they'll consider their options before then. Thompson and his supporters claim the latest charges are related to a documentary in which he videotaped police as they made arrests. The Illinois House has approved a measure aimed at severing ties between large campaign contributions and state government contracts. Sean Crawford has that story.
With allegations of pay-to-play politics running rampant in state government, House lawmakers are making an attempt to clean up the tarnished image. The plan would prohibit a business owner who bids for a state contract to also give money to a statewide office holder. Chicago Democrat John Fritchie is the sponsor and calls it the most important reform measure in years.
After way too many years, we are seeing a new day in Illinois.
While the legislation won unanimous approval and heads to the Illinois Senate, a few questioned if it's too restrictive, like Democrat Monique Davis of Chicago.
I am very much interested, Representative, in businessmen being able to participate in our democratic process of making contributions.
Donors who give $25,000 or more would be impacted. The measure comes as federal prosecutors continue to investigate alleged public corruption within the Blagojevich administration, which one U.S. attorney called pay-to-play on steroids. The governor has not been charged with any wrongdoing. I'm Sean Crawford.
Consumer advocates have dropped off several thousand petitions at the office of State Senate President Emil Jones. Jean Lakin of Godfrey says when rates went up this year, her electric bill soared. While her bill was $174 in February of last year, she says this February it cost more than $700 to heat her house. Lakin says she's one of many consumers who need relief and is encouraging lawmakers, especially Jones, to roll rates back to previous levels.
This is a crisis that President Jones needs to do something about. He needs to open his eyes and remember the people that elected him are the people that are suffering. People. We're going to stay the course in this fight for a rate freeze and a rollback for Ameren and ComEd. President Jones, do you hear? ComEd's included.
Although Lakin is an Ameren customer, she says residents in Commonwealth Edison's territory also deserve relief. Last week, the state Senate approved requiring both utilities to freeze their rates, but President Jones used a rare parliamentary procedure to make it not apply to ComEd. Jones wasn't in his office to receive the petitions, but a receptionist said she would be sure he received them. A volunteer group of motorcyclists has been called upon to honor a fallen soldier from Champaign County. Army Private First Class Lucas Starcevich of Tolono was killed in Iraq on April 16th. Illinois' chapter of the Patriot Guard Riders will be part of services this week. Members gathered on their motorcycles yesterday as they prepared to escort Starcevich's body from Willard Airport to Morgan Memorial Home in Savoy. Interim Illinois State Captain Todd LeClaire says it's the first time in his memory that a family in Champaign County has requested their presence.
When there's a soldier that's been killed in act of war, and once the family contacts us, we only go if we are invited guests of the family, and we coordinate with them and the funeral directors, the local law enforcement officials, and so on, to make sure that we do things in a respectful manner. Once again, we're only here to show our respect to the fallen service members and their families.
LeClaire says many Patriot Guard riders are veterans, but anybody can participate. Guard members extended their services to all branches of the military, as well as police and firefighters. The Patriot Guard has about 3,000 members in Illinois. Lucas Starcevich attended Unity High School and Parkland College. Funeral services are at 10 Friday at Morgan Memorial Home in Savoy. Visitation is today from 4 until 8. Roger Ebert got a standing ovation last night as he made his first public appearance since cancer surgery last year. The film critic has done only occasional work since last summer's operations. One procedure left him, at least for now, unable to speak. Ebert wandered the crowd at last night's opening of his Overlook Film Festival at the Virginia Theater in Champaign with his wife, Chaz Hamilsmith Ebert. His wife says working on the festival energizes Ebert. He's a native of Urbana and a U of I graduate. Carol Gaines, Ebert's cousin, said she worried about him over the past months, but surgeries aside, she called him the same lovable teddy bear that she grew up with. For the latest newscast online, go to WILL.UIUC.EDU/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. Some people are warning that there are hidden costs to the drive for ethanol. The demand for corn-based ethanol for fuel has pushed the price of corn close to the highest price it's been in 10 years. In the first of a two-part series on ethanol from the Environment Report, Rebecca Williams reports that economists say the push for more ethanol will mean higher prices at the supermarket.
Everything in your classic American meal has one thing in common. The burger, chips, soda, even the ketchup, they all depend on corn. Cows eat corn, chips have corn oil in them, and your soda and ketchup have high fructose corn syrup as a main ingredient. Supermarkets are loaded with food that has something to do with corn. And lately, corn's been near its highest price in 10 years. The price has nearly doubled. Everyone from livestock producers to beverage companies has been feeling the squeeze of more expensive corn. And that's been starting to show up at the grocery store. The U.S. Department of Agriculture predicts our food is going to get more expensive this year, and maybe for many years to come. Ephraim Liebtag is a USDA economist. He says we'll probably be paying between 2.5% and 3.5% more this year at the store.
That's on average for your food bill, for overall food prices. So if you're buying an average basket of products, you know, and you're spending $100 when you go to the store, now you'll be spending about $103. But you will see it first in those products most related to corn. In addition, you'll see some after effects because if more corn is produced, that may drive up prices of other commodities if the trade-off in land is between, let's say, corn and other potential farm products.
So if farmers plant more corn for ethanol instead of soybeans, that will drive up the price of soybeans and, in turn, the food that's made from them. It turns out that's exactly what farmers are planning to do this year. A recent USDA report says farmers will be planting 12 million more acres of corn than last year, and less soybeans and rice. Liebtag says high corn prices have been great for corn farmers, but he says it's been rough on a lot of other people.
If you use corn as a main ingredient, you've already noticed your costs go up quite a bit. Some companies have explored the possibility of substituting or using other products, but certainly producers, livestock and poultry as well, have higher feed costs. They have to think about exactly how they're going to produce a product when one of their inputs goes up 20, 30, 50, 80% in price.
Ethanol backers say it's just a matter of time before the market will adjust to more expensive corn. Bob Dineen is the president of the Renewable Fuels Association.
Corn prices are indeed going up. Our own industry is paying more for the feedstock for ethanol today. But at the end of the day, as the marketplace adjusts, we will be able to grow more than sufficient grain to satisfy the country's demand for food, fuel and fiber, and rural America will be the better for it.
But others argue it won't be possible to have it all forever. Lester Brown is the president of the Earth Policy Institute.
Usually in the past, rises in food prices come when we have a poor harvest somewhere in the world as a result of weather. And therefore, it's temporary. It usually lasts a year or so, and then weather comes back to normal, and we get a good harvest again. What we're looking at now is continuous pressure on prices as far as we can comfortably see in the future, simply because in agricultural terms, the demand for automotive fuel is insatiable.
Brown says we're at risk of trading food for ethanol fuel. And he says it's not just going to impact food prices in the U.S. It's also going to affect food supplies worldwide, especially in developing countries.
The biggest effects are actually hitting people in other countries who consume corn directly, like Mexico, for example, which has a corn-based diet. And there, the price of tortillas has gone up about 60%.
Brown says many U.S. politicians have what he calls ethanol euphoria. He's called for a moratorium on licensing new ethanol plants. He wants the government to think about whether it makes sense to keep subsidizing ethanol made from corn. Many people, even some in the ethanol industry, say ethanol from corn is a limited solution. So researchers are looking for ways to make ethanol from other sources, such as woody plants like switchgrass. In the meantime, ethanol from corn is still the most viable option. Economists say if corn gets diverted into ethanol on a large scale, that might mean we'll all be paying higher food prices for the next several years. For the Environment Report, I'm Rebecca Williams.
The Environment Report is a production of Michigan Radio. Support comes from the Joyce Foundation, the George Gund Foundation, and USDA's Cooperative Extension Service. Have something to say about the Environment Report? Send email to feedback@environmentreport.org.
The clouds should give way to more sunshine by this weekend, but for the next couple of days, it'll be rather cloudy for Illinois and Indiana. Our forecaster, meteorologist Ed Kieser, says today it'll be cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms. Some may become severe in east central and southeast Illinois as well as across Indiana. Our highs today will range from 52 in northern Illinois to 74 in southern Indiana. Tonight, cloudy in Illinois with scattered showers. In Indiana, cloudy with scattered thunderstorms during the evening hours and then showers overnight. Lows ranging from 40 in northwest Illinois to 55 in southeast Indiana. And for tomorrow, mostly cloudy again with a few scattered showers, primarily in eastern Illinois and across Indiana. The highs tomorrow ranging from 55 near Lake Michigan to 67 in southwest Illinois. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, April 26th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information at our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.